Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. And maybe some of you don't understand what that means, but in the front of Holy Week, this is the final week before, which would, on our calendar, as we celebrate it, would be Friday, would be the day that Jesus would have been crucified. And Sunday would have been the dawning of when we celebrate his resurrection, okay? So you say, well, all the timelines don't line up. Understand something. Listen, if you want to celebrate my birthday on July the 5th, it's totally cool with me. Just so you know, I'll receive gifts, all those things on July 5th, as well as December the 7th on my real birthday. What I'm trying to tell you is that it doesn't matter when you celebrate. It matters that we're committed to the celebration and why we do that. So as we walk through this, every day has something very special. And I would ask you, over the next week, set time aside every day and remember the journey that we've talked about all month, and that this week is that place where Jesus sacrificed his life for you. Not just for the world, for you, because you are that world. He loved you that much. What a beautiful, beautiful story. What a beautiful, beautiful fact, and what a beautiful truth. So today, as we get ready to talk to you for a little while, I wanted to just share this because the passage we're about to read is fascinating to me, always has been. And this entire journey that Jesus takes just blows me away. And it's because we know that Jesus was God incarnate. He was Jesus in the flesh. I mean, he was God in the flesh, right? He was God manifest in human form. And we love the fact, as we talk through those things, we talk about how powerful he was and how perfect he was and is and all these different things. But did you also know that part of him being God incarnate was that he felt the same things you feel? That he went through the same challenges that many of us go through? He's fought battles with his flesh just like all of us do. Why? To show us that it could be done. So it's a beautiful story because so one of the things that fascinates me is this question. How did Jesus do it? How did he come to that place where he could persevere through all of the junk that he's going through? All the challenge that he's facing. And it wasn't just in this week. It was through his entire ministry. There were challenges, people that loved him, people that didn't like him, controversy, all these different things. So the question really comes on to this for me is, what can I learn from our Savior's journey? What today can we walk away with that can change us? And that's what we want to talk about. So if you would, stand to your feet around the room as we get ready to read the Word of God together. Open your Bibles. We're going to look at two passages. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 is where we're going to start. And if you're a quick Bible turner, you could go ahead and mark Luke chapter 19 because we're going to go over there next. So Matthew chapter 21, verses 6 through 9. Now, let me just set this up because it's important that you understand that Jesus come up, he's about to go into the city. He's not quite into the city yet. And as he's there, he's fulfilling prophecy along the way. And one of those prophecies is that he would enter the city on a donkey, right? On a donkey. So this is where we're at. So now Jesus is in this place, and this is what's happening. So verse 6 in chapter 21. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." It's a celebration. They're seeing the Messiah come in. They're excited. And I want you to think for a moment how good it feels when people receive you with joy. When people, you walk into the room and people are smiling, right? That is a beautiful moment. I want you to remember this, that Jesus walked into this situation with people rejoicing. But what was to follow was very different. As a matter of fact, this is where we turn over in the book of Luke, chapter 19. Just two verses, verses 41 and 42. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." This is a great story for all of us to learn from. Because this idea of understanding that our very peace, our salvation, our restoration, our healing is right in front of us, but so many of us can't see it, just like the people in Jesus' day. The Messiah was right there, but they would reject him because of culture. And we see the same thing happening in our world today. That's why it's as important today as it's ever been, because it matters. So let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word, and we thank you for the journey that you took for all of us. And today on this Palm Sunday, I pray, God, that your word that takes root in our hearts, the Father, it would bring back a harvest of good in our lives, that we wouldn't allow the birds of the air, as your word says, to come steal it. No. We would make sure it's planted and rooted so that it becomes all that it can be. And Father, I pray this as always, that your word would convict the hearts of your people this morning. Father, change us, heal us, make us better. And Father, finally, we ask this as always, when we leave our time together this morning, God, I pray that each of us will be better because of our time here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. So do me a favor as you're being seated. If you're around somebody, just turn to them and say, "It's going to be good." Okay. I'm doing that for a reason. I was worshiping with you. I've been with you this whole service, and y'all are one sleepy bunch today. I'm just going to tell you. I was during worship going, okay, are they going to wake up this morning? Is it colder outside than it has been? Is this the spring pollen that's getting to us? Because this is not characteristic of this church. So I'm just here to tell you, as the shepherd, you need to point at somebody and say, "It's time to wake up. We're going to get some word today." All right. Our worship leader should have told us that. Amen. Anyway, here's what I want to do. I want to walk you through something that I think is so absolutely important, and I'm going to frame it in a personal story. And as I do that, what I want you to understand is it starts with a question. Have you ever had one of those days? Doesn't take a whole lot of pain in the picture, does it? I mean, have you ever had one of those days? I want you to paint that as we see Jesus in this picture, right? Is everybody celebrating him, but he knows what's about to happen to him. He knows that the very people that are celebrating him in this moment are going to reject him in the next moment. He knows that the very people that are closest to him are going to deny him in the next little while. So Jesus, being in the flesh, had to have a moment, and I think he did. I think that's what we see in the Garden of Gethsemane, this is not a good day, Lord. Lord, I don't get this. As a matter of fact, Jesus' response to God was, "God, if you can take this cup from me, it's okay with me. But nevertheless, your will be done." You know, as we walk through life, none of us are immune from challenges. None of us are immune from life. And as we walk through life, there are always going to be challenges that we look at, and we're all going to have days. We're all going to have seasons of struggle. We're all going to have seasons where it doesn't feel like we thought it would feel. Sometimes your walk with Christ doesn't feel the same as you're walking. Sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes as you're walking with Christ, you can feel a little more distant from Him. And sometimes you feel like He's just right there. You know, it's like you could feel, you could sense Him. All these things, you're firing on all cylinders spiritually. Then there's those other seasons where you feel a little disconnected. So what I want to tell you today is there's something powerful for us to be reminded about what Jesus does in this. The perseverance that He had, the commitment that He had. And here's why. Because He understood His purpose. He understood that if he failed to complete the race that God had prepared for him, that was planned for him, if he failed to complete that, then the forgiveness of sin, the ultimate sacrifice, wouldn't happen. He understood that we wouldn't have the opportunity that we have today, our sons and our daughters and the history that we all have, the legacy that we see. All of these things wouldn't have happened, and he understood that. So he understood that the benefit was far greater than the pain that he would have to face. You see, I think part of the problem in our lives is sometimes we get so caught up in the moment that we forget why we do what we do. You know, we don't just come to church because it's the thing to do. Can I tell you something? We come to church because we love Jesus. We come to church because we gave our lives to Him and committed our lives to Him. We committed to do the things that He's laid out before us, right? We've committed to do life with believers so that we can be built up and not forsaking the assembling together of the saints as some have done. No, that's what we do. It's who we are. And part of that is to help us through difficult seasons. You know, when I talk about that, there's an idea here. You know, if I could draw bubbles with my hands in the air, and, you know, I'm sure there's technology that would allow me to do that. But anyway, you know, if you've got this bubble and this bubble, this being the purpose, this being where you want to be, there's also this side. This side is the preparation for you to get to where you want to be. See, the problem in our lives is what we end up doing is we have this goal out here. We have this end game. We have this picture that we know that God's placed in our hearts. But we're not in the time here doing what we need to be doing. We're coasting. We're just living life. We're just doing our thing. We're filling our needs, building our kingdom, doing all these things. And all the while, this goal that God has for you is sitting over here. The problem that we all have is that we need to first realize that we've got to be preparing for this journey. See, Jesus' entire journey was based upon everything that he did up to this point was to prepare him for the week that he was now walking into. See, some of the problems that we face, we wonder why your season doesn't change quickly enough, is simply because you haven't done the prep work and God knows it. He's saying, I need you to do what needs to be done so that when the storms hit, so when that week happens, that you're going to know what to do. See, because in the middle of your preparation and your purpose is where all the storms come. All the storms, it never fails. You're walking with the Lord, you're doing your thing, and you know, you kind of get on a groove and you're rolling. It fascinates me that when God starts showing himself big, when you start stepping out in faith, is it not interesting that that's when it feels like the enemy attacks more than ever? Why do you think that is? Because you're so close to your goal, and he's pulling out every stop that he can to inhibit you from getting to that goal. So what does it take to survive that? What does it take to finish the race well in the form of Jesus? How do we do that? It's called focus. It's called understanding that life is going to bring you distractions. Life is going to throw things in your path that aren't fun. But your response to those things is what matters the most. When that temptation comes on you that seems to come at you every time, like the enemy knows that one little thing to bug you, that really irritates you, that seems to make you stumble. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Everybody's got one. And you have that moment that you make a decision. I'm either going to follow God or give over to my flesh. Do you think Jesus didn't have to make some of the same decisions? Now, I know you're sitting here, you're going, yeah, but he's Jesus. I get that. I totally get that. And you're right. I mean, we can't really compare ourselves to an incarnate God made flesh, right? It's like it's hard to compare ourselves to that. But the truth is, his life was an example, saying, this is how you do it. This is how you walk through difficult places. But the challenge in our lives is sometimes when we walk through those places, no matter how long you serve the Lord or how much you lean into him, when hard times hit, it rocks your world. You see, last week, Tawana and I were getting ready to go to a quick vacation with the kids, with our grandbabies. And she was having some pain, and she said, you know what, I'm going to go into the doctor before we go, just so that we can have fun and not be worried about anything. She goes in, and she comes out with one report. And the one report said, we can't finish because we found a mass in your abdomen, and we need to figure out what's going on. So then they do an ultrasound, and there's a mass. Now they've got to figure out what's it attached to. They've got to figure out all the things that, and you know, and many of you have been through these situations, and those aren't fun reports to get. And then there's the long wait. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? Maybe this wasn't the same before COVID hit, but now it's like everything takes forever. And now you're stuck in the unknown, not knowing what's next. And you're struggling with saying, no, we're people of faith. We know that God, we do not receive the report of the world. We do not receive that. We speak healing. We speak health and vitality. We believe God. We're walking in this. But there's always that nagging thought in the back of your mind. What if? What if? You see, here's what I want to tell you, because this is a real challenge. This is real life, and that's what me and Tawana always try to bring to you, is that our life's not that much different than yours, if at all. Because we all go through battles. We all go through struggles and disappointments and hurts, and I'm going to be honest. We're going through this, and me and Tawana are having a conversation, and we're talking. I said, you know, this is a distraction. We talked about distractions last week. I said, honey, this is a distraction. We've started building this building that was her vision, her dream to be an answer to a problem that we saw in our community. And as the building starts to go up, as the church has been in a growth cycle, as our family is growing dramatically, as all of these different things are happening, it's just like we're talking. The enemy always wants to strike in that moment before your Holy Week. Because that's the place. You know, the problem is, as I said before, there's a place that we need to understand. The important moment is the response that you make. How you respond to that moment. And as Tawana and I are walking through this, you know, at me as the husband, you know, I'm trying to not think any bad thoughts. I can't imagine, you know, it's like, y'all don't understand. If something happens to our wives, we're done. It's like, I don't know what we're going to do. So you're fighting these thoughts of, you know what? The truth is that everybody's report doesn't come back good. The truth is, there's some challenges here. And God, we're wrestling with this because we're human. But God, I need to have the confidence that you're going to do that. You know, we're praying through these things. And there are a few people praying with us. And we're just like going, you know, God, we don't receive this report. And I'm looking at my wife. And we're looking at our grandbabies. We're looking at all these things. The point I'm trying to make to you is that no matter how you feel, no matter what it looks like, you have to learn this, that your response to the current situation that you're in will absolutely dictate how God uses you in the next. So we have to learn from Jesus. Jesus, knowing what was ahead of him, still pushed forward because of his love for the people that he was going to sacrifice his life for. So what do we do when it's difficult? What do we do when we feel alone? What do you do when your relationship, your marriage, is just not good? What do you do? What do you do when it just feels like the world's falling apart and you don't have an answer and you can't see an answer? And it's like, you know what the Word of God says, but when we look at the world around us and we say, then why are evil people in authority? Why are people that are deniers of God, why are they being blessed? I want you to understand there is a similarity to every one of those questions. And the similarity is this: irregardless of what it is, what is your response? So once again, it brings you back to the preparation. See, the problem and why you see people that stumble and fall in those moments is because they're not prepared. Now, can I tell you something? I don't think we're ever fully prepared for that moment that Tawana and I had. Nobody is. But what we do know is this: because of our foundational beliefs, because of what we know what the Word says, because we've seen miracles in our lives. People could say, well, the Holy Spirit doesn't do those things anymore. You're crazy, because I've seen Him with my own eyes. I know He does. My God is still a miracle worker. My God still does those things. And you say, Pastor, what are you talking? Listen, all you got to do is see one dramatic miracle and it will change your doctrine. And you say, well, yeah, I would do that if that happened to me. It happened to me. I grew up in it my whole life, and I saw miracles in my father's journeys and all those things. And that's one thing, because those are stories. Those are things that I saw until God used me in one, and I literally held the milky cataracts from a lady's eyes that had fallen out of her eyes when we prayed for her. And you could say, that doesn't happen. I don't care what you think, because I held them in my hand. And I looked into those eyes that before we prayed were milky white. And after we prayed, they were bright blue. I'm just telling you, that's what I'm trying to make you understand. That was the preparation. The purpose never changes. The problem in our lives is sometimes we don't know what the purpose is. And let me give you just a couple of key thoughts. I'll give them to you quickly. When you shift your perspective to the eternal, because that's what it is. This is what it does. You have to shift your mindset. Your perspective cannot be on the circumstance. It has to be on the eternal. So when you shift your perspective to the eternal, you can see more clearly the things that truly matter from a kingdom perspective. That's the reality. So you say, what do I do in those moments? Shift your perspective. Stop thinking of the temporal, which is here, which is now, and start thinking of the eternal. What does this mean in the long term? God, you have a plan for me. Does this work into the plan that you have for me? In other words, you've got to see the macro instead of the micro. You've got to be able to see the big picture instead of the little picture, because here's what happens. If you get stuck on the little picture, you're going to find yourself being eaten alive by doubt, fear, and anxiety. And that's exactly where the enemy wants you. It's exactly where he wants to see you. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, there's a passage that tells us something very powerful in verse 24. In that passage, it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. I'm going to tell you something. At the end of the day, I don't want to just run the race. I want to win the race. And I can't win the race if I'm skirting around my purpose. I can't win the race if I'm worried about and doubting how, you know, as somebody who used to run, are any other used to runners in here? Used to runners, that's what we call ourselves. But I remember in those, you're trying to run longer distances and all those things. If you convince yourself early on in mile two that you're already hurting, you're not going to be able to make it to mile five. You're not going to make it to mile four. Because it's a mental thing. You've got to learn how to turn those things off, and you've got to understand, no, my goal is over here. My goal is 10 miles. Just for, I never ran 10 miles. But anyway, my goal is 10 miles. So if I get my mind off of that third mile and start saying, I got this, Lord, and I have this control in my head saying, I know my purpose. It may hurt for the moment, but I know that'll pass. I've got to keep going because I know about mile three and a half, maybe at four, I'm going to get an endorphin rush. It's going to feel good all of a sudden, and I'm going to feel like running the rest of the way. But the problem is most of us never make it to the endorphin rush. We stop when it hurts. We stop when it's scary. We stop when we don't understand. And we see it difficult. We say, well, if it's hard, it must not be God. I can tell you this in my story in my life. You know, me and Tawana can attest to this in hundreds of stories through our lives. Is that it can seem that way, but the truth is, if it was easy, anybody could do it. If it was easy, we could take credit. But when it's hard and it looks impossible, I'm telling you right now, that's when God shows up. So we have to look at that and understand, I can't get caught up in the sway of the moment. I can't get caught up in the tone of the culture. I can't get caught up in the tone of a church world. No. What I've got to do is make sure that I'm caught up in what my purpose that God's brought me to, and I can stay faithful in that. God will carry me through the things that I don't understand. And He'll carry us through strong. So what we have to remember, it's the response. How will you respond in the season that you don't understand? How will you respond? See, Jesus, He stayed on purpose. Despite the challenges, despite the pain that He was about to face, Jesus remained focused on His mission. One of the conversations Tawana had, She goes, this cannot be the report that's got to be because this can't happen because we've got too much work to do. We've got to get this done, and we're not going to give room to the enemy. I'm paraphrasing my wife just so it's short, is this, because if you've met my wife, nothing's ever short except her. So, and we're having this conversation, you know, and she goes, we got too much to do. God's called us to build this. God's called us to do this and reach and touch and make this all happen because it's the vision that God gave us. And God is not going to allow this to happen. This is the faith talk that's happening. There was a focus on the mission. And I want to give you one more key thought. Often the answer that seems hidden is so close, but you can't see it because you've lost focus on the goal. See, the problem sometimes, we become focused on the wrong things. What I want to tell you is, irregardless of what the report is or what the diagnosis is or what it turns out to be, you have to realize that I can't waste time being focused on the issue. I need to be focused on the goal. I can't be focused on the temporary pain. I need to be focused on my healing. I've got to be focused on the mission that God's called me to. And maybe a bad diagnosis is part of that journey in between. But the moment you get stuck right there is the moment that the enemy will rob you of the purpose that he created you for, that God created you for. So what do we do with that? You know what we discovered? That the first thing the enemy likes to take from you is your peace. Because when you don't have peace, what happens? That anxiety begins to rush in. The doubt starts to come in. You need your peace. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, even in that moment, when we look back at Luke chapter 19 and we see what Jesus was saying in that moment in verse 42, where He says, if you had known, even you, that especially in this your day, the things that would make for your peace. So we rushed Tawana in for the next step is the CT scan. And, you know, we can all say whatever we want to about those journeys and the struggles, but, you know, Tawana and I had stayed together constantly for the 2 days going into that because she wanted to make sure when she talked to the doctor that I was there, because sometimes you get into that moment of shock and you can't remember anything that was said. And we were doing some stuff down in Goodlettsville and run some errands for the church. And as we were doing that, we're coming back and I said, let's grab some coffee. And we're about to pull into a place to get some coffee and the phone rings. And it's the doctor, finally. And basically he went through, he said, I need to talk to you about three things. You know, and I want to tell you something. For all of our doctor friends out there, I have a big heart for you because I cannot imagine having to have some of the conversations that you have to have with people. But I remember as we're sitting there, and you know, and Tawana, she's half speaking in tongues, and she says, shh, we need to hear. You know, and she's just praying it down. And he comes on and he says, well, let's talk about three things. Number one, that when we did the exam and the ultrasound, the mass is there. We did the CT scan, the mass is not there. It's gone. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm not telling you that it was a divine miracle of God. I know what I think. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. What I'm saying is there are distractions in your life. There are things. And can I tell you something? That distraction hung over us for a week as we're doing foundational work in this building, as we're taking care of all the business end of everything, as we're doing all this stuff and fielding all the calls that come with it, all these things. There was this distraction as open enrollment started for the academy, as all of this was going on, as we had baby showers coming up for our two daughters who are about to have our two new grandsons. As all of this is going on, we had that distraction hovering over our heads. But in a moment, it was done. And see, some people would say, Pastor, I'm telling you this, number one, because you're our family. I want you to know the things we go through. Number two, I want you to understand that those things in your life can be distractions from what God is calling you to. And can I tell you, Tawana worked through those things and kept doing what she needed to do, even though she didn't know the answer. That's what I want you to understand. Irregardless of what that call might have been like, and I'm shouting and praise God, we got a good report, praise God. But you know, there are other people that don't get good reports. So what I want to tell you inside those moments that you don't understand is you have to learn, I'm going to push through the pain. It's a choice that you make when you're in preparation mode. How do I walk through this? I need your peace, God. And that was our prayer through the entire week and a half, was God, give us your peace. Walk with us. Help us. Help us to stay on focus. Help us to be who we need to be in this moment. And the truth is that today, there are many of you in this room, and maybe it's not the same story, but you're going through a season in your life. It's very difficult, and it seems like there's so much chaos around you, and it's hard to keep your mind set. It's hard to not let anxiety and fear and doubt and unbelief and all those different things, or you know, why did God let this happen? Why? Take a breath and step into what you've already prepared for. See, this is what I'm trying to tell you. Too many people, they don't do preparation until they're into the middle of the storm. All of a sudden, it's like I need to put a demand on my faith, but I've not done the prep work for that moment. So now I'm playing catch up, trying to get to that place. And look, God, he even works in those moments. But what I can tell you is this, the lesson we learn is that Jesus' entire journey from his birth on earth to the place that we are today on Palm Sunday was preparation So all of those years, think about it, all those years were preparation for 1 week. All of this time of learning how to move through the temptations that the enemy brought to him in the desert, right? The distractions. Into the place where we move even through every sermon, and I'm not going to recap every sermon, but as we move through each of those places along the journey, it was the preparation, it was the preparing, it was the proving of God's word. And one thing we walk away with, when you don't know what to say, speak his word, because his word will never fail you. So today, you can have peace. And I pray that we're not like the people of Jesus' day. When he looked upon that city and he wept because he knew that they were going to reject the peace that he brought, the hope that he brought. And my prayer for you on this Palm Sunday is that you don't leave this house and walk away from the hope and the peace that God has for you. Because no matter what your situation, no matter what it looks like, remember, you have a purpose. And don't let the enemy distract you from what he's called you to be. Because God, here's what we learn. He's got you. He's walking with you. And he has your purpose in mind. Would you bow your head and close your eyes?